This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. Lame duck happenings and an expanding investigation of possible election fraud. Here to discuss just some of what happened this week in North Carolina politics are Becky Gray from the conservative John Locke Foundation and Rob Schofield with the progressive NC Policy Watch. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
Hey, Jeff.
The national spotlight has again returned to North Carolina politics. Specifically, we're going to talk about the 9th Congressional District, which stretches from Mecklenburg County to southeast of Fayetteville. Absentee ballots have allegedly been compromised, destroyed, doctored, and/or manipulated by an orchestrated effort to help the Republican candidate, Mark Harris. He appeared to have defeated Dan McCready by 905 votes. That was last month. That result, at least that margin, appears very much to be in doubt as we record our conversation, and I do need to note this week, on a Thursday afternoon, because this is a very fluid situation. A state investigation is underway in two rural counties. CNN reported Wednesday night that as many as 1,000 ballots may have been thrown in the trash. And it strikes me that the full scope of this story is probably not yet uncovered. Becky, it feels like we're barreling toward a new election. Does it not?
Well, it certainly does. And I think the more that we learn about that, the more that becomes a possibility. And, you know, what we're really looking at here, I think, is, you know, whether or not there was election fraud, whether the election that was held and ballots being harvested, fraudulent activity, illegal activity to compromise the result of the election. And the more we see, we're still early in this, of course, and a lot of more investigation to go on, but it certainly seems like it. And we're seeing that from Congress. We're also hearing it from North Carolina legislators. So, you know, as it says, we'll see what happens, but it certainly does feel like that, Jeff.
It's become a big national story, obviously. I don't think there's any stopping the momentum at this point. I thought it was sort of amusing. Nate Silver of 538, you all probably saw this. He tweeted today that they were changing how they rated the district from which way it leans to now leans prison. It's a very troubling series of developments. It is a national story. I don't think there's any way it's going to change at this point. I think it's headed to a new election. Even Dallas Woodhouse was saying last night from the Republican Party that he was now open to a new election. He said he threw up when he saw the story on CNN. So it's a very sordid saga, and I do think we've got a lot more to learn about what happened.
But I think it's important to get to the bottom of it. I mean, absolutely. I think we can all agree on that.
You both have observed North Carolina politics for a long time. There have been allegations raised previously with Bladen County. This investigation, I should note, Bladen and Robeson counties. Does this remind you of anything? Does this speak to anything that we've seen in this state before?
I mean, I have my suspicions. I can't quote you the actual event when it occurred, but I've heard stories from Bladen County that go back a lot further than 2010, that go back well into the 20th century, and probably Robeson as well. So
specifically what? What are we talking about?
I mean, we've heard before of voter fraud, of paying off voters, of I don't know that I've heard this absentee ballot scam. This seems very much indeed sort of a 21st century version of voter fraud. And indeed, that sort of points out the sort of problem in many respects with the voter ID legislation, which they're passing, which is really about sort of a 19th century solution. Oh, people are going to come in person and vote fraudulently. That's not how you do it. In the 21st century, you use technology, you use absentee ballots. I think, but maybe that 19th century method was used back in the day in Bladen and Robeson.
But, you know, we've heard whispers of this and, you know, kind of, you know, back room, you know, gee, did this happen or did you hear kind of thing. But I think when the numbers started coming out and people really started counting those absentee ballots that were requested, how many were requested by one or two or three people, how many were returned, and when you compare that to the request and the results in other counties across the state, it just stood out like a sore thumb. And I think that's what began the investigation. And again, as they get deeper into it, as they look at more things, as they talk to more people, as evidence begins to be presented of people actually relaying conversations, notes, those kind of things, it becomes more and more apparent that there are some problems there.
And it should be pointed out, there is probably reason to expect that this has happened in the past. One of the reasons, it's like a lot of problems, the light finally got shined in a dark corner that hadn't been shined in before. And, you know, there's probably some past elections that have been affected in this way as well.
Well, and even Robert Pittenger had said, you know, during the primary, because this is that same district, of course, I mean, he even indicated, I think on the record, several people heard him say, gee, you know, these problems in Bladen County refer to that. So I think in political circles and people who really monitor those things, it probably doesn't come as a big surprise.
Becky, we heard from five Republican North Carolina senators on Thursday who called on the governor to establish a bipartisan group to investigate this. Of course, the State Board of Elections is already investigating this. Do you have any concerns about the current bipartisan Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement, that's the official name, looking into this?
I don't personally. I kind of understand where these lawmakers were, and it goes back to your point, Jeff, about was this happening before? Were there problems before? I think one of the points they made was, look, there were allegations of this before. Why didn't anybody look into it? You know, maybe we need another investigative body to look at it.
But this board hasn't been in place since those previous incidents.
Some
real
questions
or not.
There. You know, in my mind, I mean, it looks to me like the board's doing a good job. Kim Strack, who is, I think,
a Republican.
You know, is involved in this and doing the investigation. Personally, for me, I think they're doing a good job. I think at this point, I think we need to step back. We need to let these folks do their jobs.
I can't imagine that at this point, with all the national publicity this issue is getting, that the state bipartisan State Board of Elections and Ethics Enforcement is going to do anything but devote every resource they have to it. That said, I think there is an argument to be made that that board has been understaffed and under-resourced. And you know, we've monkeyed with it so many times that they undoubtedly haven't been as vibrant or as active as they probably should have been in the past. I'm glad that this is going to give a jump start to that, and they probably wouldn't hurt to maybe hire them some more investigators to work over there, because this probably isn't the only problem they ought to be looking into. But yeah, there's no need to create yet another bureaucracy.
Going to attempt to confine you each to 30 seconds or so on this final question. Lame duck session for the outgoing supermajorities here in Raleigh this week. I would note far less controversial than what happened here 2 years ago during a lame duck session, or what has played out in Wisconsin this week. A takeaway from each of you about what was most notable, significant from this session as we head into the session's not over, it's going to continue next week, but most significant thing that happened this week at the General Assembly, Rob.
Well, the voter ID bill is the most significant thing. I think the most significant overarching issue is the fact that this is supposed to be the year of a short session. Instead, we've had a legislature that's been in session for 10 out of 12 months. It's if we're going to go to a full-time legislature, let's just do it, and let's not pretend that we're not. But that's effectively the direction we're heading. And this General Assembly, this lame duck General Assembly, is clearly overreaching what a lame duck legislature ought to be working on.
And, of course, the voter ID has gotten all the headlines. But the other thing that they did is the hurricane recovery. I think it was $280 million additional money going to farmers, coastal communities, fishermen, to make sure that they can recover from the devastating storms that we've had. And so for me, what I'm taking away from it is there are places that we can find common ground. And so whether it's a supermajority or majority or who's in charge, I think that we need to continue to look for ways that we can work together to make North Carolina better. And the hurricane recovery effort, I think, has been one that everybody's been on board and is a good example and one I'd like to see carried over as we move into the 2019 session.
Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Becky Gray is Senior Vice President at the John Locke Foundation. Enjoy the snow.
You too.
Thanks, guys.